Hi guys, welcome back to Fashion History Update. I'm your host, Emily. And today we're covering 1930s. Now, I know last podcast we were in like the 2010s and everything focused on the 2000s. But we can't really go from 2000s to 2020s because we already know that fashion because we're living through it right now. But something we can do is go back and see how it's changed. I know we've covered 1940s through the 80s and 90s. But we haven't covered 30s or 20s, really. So, let's look at that. So, in 1930s, women typically went from a boyish look to a more feminine look among the 1930s. So, it was more like a boyish look in 1920s, is what I'm going to guess. And then it went to a more feminine look in 1930s. Why they made that change, I don't know. I personally think that that style was more appropriate. Well, I'm not saying appropriate. Sorry, not appropriate. But more fitting for that time. With the stock market crash in 1929, fashion changed with the hemlines becoming lower and waistlines returned to normal. So hemlines became like they covered more and they weren't as showy like the 1920s, and waistlines, like, instead of like, I guess, not showing your waist, they started showing the waist how it is kind of today. Popular styles of the early 1930s were along the lines of a garçon look of the 20s. So basically, 1930s and 20s are fairly similar. The looks are the same, and everything's kind of the same. Yeah, exactly the same. While the 20s lacked the silhouette from curves, like curves of a silhouette and everything, the simple lines hugged early 30s and drew attention to them. So early, basically, to make that make sense, early 30s had, like, everything hugged and made and, like, fit perfectly on women instead of just having a simple, baggier look. Kelly Blackman, a lecturer on the history of fashion at Central St. Martin's, writes in 100 Years of Fashion, by the early 1930s, the fashionable silhouette was evolving into a slender, elongated torso with widening shoulders and a neat head with softly wavered short hair. So, like, boyish hair and a more defined silhouette, but still a slim figure. Not kind of, like, curvy, but then not kind of not curvy. You know, you kind of know what I mean? It's showing off your curves and your body and everything, but that's not, like, flaunting it like 1920s did. While short hair was popular, it was easy to style and everything with your curls and with, like, just, it just went with the styles and everything. Now, today, we have a lot more styles for short hair, including, like, pixie cuts or, I don't really know many short hair styles, but I know there's some. Bob cuts, that's one. They had a bob cut in the 1930s, but it was curled on the end, which is actually really, really cute. Since everything was simpler back then, they had only, like, a couple hairstyles. 1935, people had natural waist and skirts flaring out slightly the ankle. So they had, like, the normal waistlines where it didn't show much, but it didn't show too little. And then it kind of had, like, flaring skirts. Pretty cute. I saw pictures. The bias cut also contributed to the slender look of the early 30s. Bias meant to cut it at a 45-degree angle. I don't know math. You can probably look it up. I think I've seen a photo of it, and it's, like, kind of really cute. You would just have to style it really well back then. I don't know if I'd be able to or who would be able to, but people pulled it off back then. Designer Madeleine Vionnet, I'm so sorry if I said her name wrong. It's, like, I feel like it's a French name. I'm not exactly sure. Used the bias cut in the 20s and 30s. So, again, another similarity between 20s and 30s. And nowadays, we don't really see the bias cut, but we do see, like, the slender waistlines showing off the curves and the silhouette of women's bodies and everything. So, it's not that bad. Satin dresses with low backs create a slinky feminine silhouette. So, satin dresses. We have those. You see them wearing at the Grammys, the Oscars, basically any popular awards show. You see them. And they always have, like, the low backs, or it's, like, showing off a lot more than you think it would. But it's still showing their feminine silhouette a little bit. Billie Eilish, not so much her outfit. I'm not hating on it. But I'm not but it didn't really show her figure. I'm not saying it had to, but Selena Gomez's dress definitely showed her figure and everything, and I love that dress. I mean, the uneven sides, the asymmetrical, it's beautiful. I love it. 2010s, not so bad, but then not the best either. Well, that dominated evening wear, so satin dresses with the low backs dominated evening wear. Day wear returned to romanticism and femininity. Oh, God. Romance and feminism. They gonna mix. They don't mix, but 1930s. Let's see. Day dresses had a variety of patterns, including floral, plaid, dots, and more abstract prints like zebra. Imagine wearing zebra print. I'm not hating on anyone who's worn it before or does wear it. It just doesn't make sense on why you would. I mean, you'd have to style your entire outfit around that because it's so hard to, like, match that with certain clothes and everything. And it's just, like, it's just hard. So, yeah. They also have defined waist and feel mint. They fall mid-calf and just above the ankle. So, like, mid-calf's, like, basically your almost entire leg is covered by these day dresses that they wore. Which, 1930s, that was kind of the style because women weren't supposed to show a lot. Not like if the 1800s when you had to wear everything down to your shoes and you couldn't show your ankle. Or else you'd be called a witch or something. I don't know the actual thing. I don't know if I'll go that far back. But, still, like, they were pretty long dresses, and they were day dresses, so you could go out and shop and everything when shopping was as popular, so. Smart suits were popular with crisp lines and sculptural defined shoulders, like those in Edward Molino's dress from 1939. The exaggerated shoulder was a hallmark of 1930s fashion. I really want to say it's like shoulder pads, but I don't think that's quite right, because it's like, it says a defined shoulder. So when I hear that, that makes me think of shoulder pads. But shoulder pads are 1980s. Unless these are like the original shoulder pads and they just weren't like considered shoulder pads. I'm not exactly sure, but I know that it's like okay and everything. But the 1930s, I don't know what people are thinking. Edward, I don't know what this guy was thinking. In the 1920s, designer Elsa Schiaparelli, Italian name, I think, I'm not going on. I'm just saying what I think. I'm sorry I pronounced it wrong. Popularized. So she became popular in the 1920s. She took her designs to the next level, collaborating with surreal artists like Salvador Dali and Joan Cocteau. She used drawings by the latter. So she used their drawings as like fashion inspiration and kind of made their designs. Like the linen jacket from the 1937 that shows a woman's head with her hair, a cascade of sequins down one arm. That actually really sounds like, I'm not calling it old, like more retro or vintage from that era. Yes, it does. Because like you wouldn't see people today wearing that. You'd be like, where's that from? They're like, oh, it's from 1930s or like it's from way back when. So that kind of makes me think, I mean, it's surreal art. So it's not like normal clothing or normal art. It's their own take on it. And she made that into fashion, which is why she became popular, because she had this abstract new idea of fashion and nothing was ever like quote unquote the same. So I think that was pretty cool of her. While many of her collections were grounded in the prevailing mode, they include unique embellishments and twists that were uniquely hers. So she put her own spin on the clothes, that way no one could technically, like, I guess, copy it. The purple dress from her 1938 Pagging collection follows a popular construction, but the highly embellished neckline and structural shoulders are quintessential Schiaparelli. So she personally, like, made, like, a design on the neckline and the shoulders to make sure that everyone knew it was hers and no one else's. Like, if you'd make it to an exact science as someone else, there's always going to be one little detail that's going to put it off of something and say, that's not hers, this is hers, that is yours, you, like, faked your way into this, or you made a copy to try and trick us, or everything, or you try to take credit for their art, or something like that. So, in the 30s, women looked to movie stars for inspiration, like we all still do. Hollywood decimated fashion to the masses and stars like Greta Garbo, Marlon Dietrich, Betty Davis. They became some of the first Hollywood stars. Yeah, so first Hollywood women stars, like some of them. Many women all over the world attempted to copy their style. Making this a little easier was a rise in makeup and the beauty industry. The rise in the beauty industry allowed more women to copy their favorite stars at just a small cost. Small cost is like $200 for a eyeshadow palette. Now, that's not a small cost anymore. Of course, the Great Depression also had an influence on fashion. As I said in the beginning, it affected it, so. Contributing to this democratization, especially in the United States. Before the 1930s, buyers would purchase copy of Paris designs and resell them in their home countries. By the end of the decade, Europe had entered into its Second World War and the U.S. still had not left the Great Depression behind. As the 30s closed, the popular style of broad padded shoulders, nipped waist, and shorter A-line skirts that would dominate the early 1940s had emerged. So everything moved up higher and just like became smaller and everything. So basically the 1930s created shoulder pads in a way. I wouldn't say they technically created shoulder pads, but they sort of did. Even though the 1930s was roughly over 100 years ago, the fashion was still affects us today. Like, we know some of their patterns are still there. There's still dresses that go down to our legs and our feet and everything. Because it's like fancy, like bridesmaid prom and like those fancy dresses. Not the day dresses that people would wear on a day-to-day basis. Since the hemline of clothing was rising and the waistlines were getting slimmer, that's how it is today. So in the 1940s and 1920s, the hemlines were getting higher, and the waistlines were like shrinking and everything to make women look more slim, make them show off more skin, and that's kind of how it is today. You see people with ripped jeans and crop tops and this and that, and it's just, you don't think about where this all came from. There's a big difference in how fashion's changed, but then if you dive deep enough, there's enough similarities to where you can see where it started, where the roots are from, and that's from past. That's obviously from the past. That's from history. That's from where everything came from. It came from like 1930s, 1920s, 80s, 90s, 70s, all those eras. Came from everything. So going off of that, fashion changes, but sometimes it's small. Like from 1920s to the 30s to the 40s. If you look at 20s and 40s, you're going to see a big difference. But if you look at 20s and 30s and then 30s and 40s, you don't see that big of a change. So when you take out the middleman that you do see a big change. But if you leave it in there, there's not that much of a change, but then in reality there is, cuz a change doesn't change. I know I'm saying that word a lot. But it doesn't like, there's not much difference in it. When we went into the 1940s, there wasn't much from 1930s, of course. Like, there wasn't much changes in fashion. But then, yeah, if you look at it all splayed out, then you can see how it's different from each year and everything, how nothing's, like, completely the same. But then you look at today's times, and it's like, that's similar to that, and that's similar to that. This doesn't make sense, but then it does, but then it doesn't. So that's where it gets a little weird, but then it's also a little cool. The most drastic change that has been over time was the 2000s, which was the last episode. I mean, that's when we had the low-rise jeans with, like, the tube tops and everything was coming out, and then the feathers in the hair and everything. Well, feathers was 2014, but you get what I'm saying. The 2000s era has been one of the biggest changes in fashion, obviously. The 1930s were a different time with the Great Depression and everyone being in poverty and everything, but it still had an effect on fashion because everything does. If there's a fashion designer who's like sad or just not in a good place, their clothes will portray it. Or if they're like Van Gogh or Da Vinci or like any famous actual artist, I think it was Van Gogh who had the blue period. he was just so sad and depressed when he was alive that when he was in the Blue Period, every painting he had was blue. There was hardly any color, and there was nothing. Starry Night, for example. It's black and blue with just specks of yellow for lights. But it wasn't that much. And it's just like, you can portray your feelings through art, or you can portray how times are, but you just gotta look for the changes in certain things, because that's what makes things. Now, I feel like 1920s are similar, and I want to see how many differences I can find in 1920s. I want to see how that changed from 1920s and 30s, and then probably compare it to now, like I'm doing now. But I'll do that one another time. Thanks for listening. Bye.